3. Momentum. 34 years ago. Rock buds crunched like skulls beneath Dalinar's boots as he charged across the burning field. His elites pounded after him, a hand-picked force of soldiers both light-eyed and dark. They weren't an honor guard. Dalinar didn't need guards. These were simply the men he considered competent enough not to embarrass him. Around him, rock buds smoldered. Moss, dried from the summer heat and long days between storms this time of year, flared up in waves, setting the rockbud shells alight. Flamespren danced among them. And, like a Spren himself, Dalinar charged through the smoke, trusting in his padded armor and thick boots to protect him. The enemy, pressed on the north by his armies, had pulled back into this town just ahead. With some difficulty, Dalinar had waited so he could bring his elites in as a flanking force. He hadn't expected the enemy to fire this plain, desperately burning their own crops to block the southern approach. Well, the fires could go to damnation. Though some of his men were overwhelmed by the smoke or heat, most stayed with him. They'd crash into the enemy, pressing them back against the main army. Hammer and anvil, his favorite kind of tactic. The type that didn't allow his enemies to get away from him. As Dalinar burst from the smoky air, he found a few lines of spearmen hastily forming ranks on the southern edge of the town. Anticipation spren, like red streamers growing from the ground and whipping in the wind, clustered around them. The low town wall had been torn down in a contest a few years back, so the soldiers had only rubble as a fortification, though a large ridge to the east made a natural windbreak against the storms, which had allowed this place to sprawl almost like a real city. Dalinar bellowed at the enemy soldiers, beating his sword, just an ordinary long sword, against his shield. He wore a sturdy breastplate, an open-fronted helm, and iron-reinforced boots. The spearmen ahead of him wavered as his elites roared from amid the smoke and flame, shouting a bloodthirsty cacophony. A few of the spearmen dropped their weapons and ran. Dalinar grinned. He didn't need shards to intimidate. He hit the spearman like a boulder rolling through a grove of saplings, his sword tossing blood into the air. A good fight was about momentum. Don't stop, don't think. Drive forward and convince your enemies that they're as good as dead already. That way they'll fight you less as you send them to their pyres. The spearmen thrust their spears frantically, less to try to kill, more to try to push away this madman. Their ranks collapsed as too many of them turned their attention toward him. Dalinar laughed, slamming aside a pair of spears with his shield, then disemboweling one man with a blade deep in the gut. The man dropped his spear in agony, and his neighbors backed away at the horrific sight. Dalinar came in with a roar, killing them with a sword that bore their friend's blood. Dalinar's elites struck the now broken line, and the real slaughter began. He pushed forward, keeping momentum, shearing through the ranks until he reached the back, then breathed deeply and wiped ashen sweat from his face. A young spearman wept on the ground nearby, screaming for his mother as he crawled across the stone, trailing blood. Fear spren mixed with orange, sinewy pain spren all around. Dalinar shook his head and rammed his sword down into the boy's back as he passed. Men often cried for their parents as they died. Didn't matter how old they were. He'd seen graybeards do it, same as kids like this one. He's not much younger than me, Dalinar thought. Maybe 17. But then Dalinar had never felt young, regardless of his age. His elites carved the enemy line in two. Dalinar danced, shaking off his bloodied blade, feeling alert, excited, but not yet alive. Where was it? Come on. A larger group of enemy soldiers was jogging down the street toward him, led by several officers in white and red. From the way they suddenly pulled up, he guessed they were alarmed to find their spearmen falling so quickly. Dalinar charged. His elites knew to watch, so he was rapidly joined by 50 men. The rest had to finish off the unfortunate spearmen. 50 would do. The crowded confines of the town would mean Dalinar shouldn't need more. He focused his attention on the one man riding a horse. The fellow wore plate armor, obviously meant to resemble shard plate, though it was only of common steel. It lacked the beauty, the power of true plate. He still looked like he was the most important person around. Hopefully that would mean he was the best. The man's honor guard rushed to engage, and Dalinar felt something stir inside him, like a thirst, a physical need. Challenge. He needed a challenge. He engaged the first member of the guard, attacking with a swift brutality. Fighting on a battlefield wasn't like dueling in an arena. Dalimar didn't dance around the fellow, testing his abilities. Out here, that sort of thing got you stabbed in the back by someone else. Instead, Dalinar slammed his sword down against the enemy, who raised his shield to block. Dalinar struck a series of quick, powerful blows like a drummer pounding out a furious beat. Bam, 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 bam. The enemy soldier clutched his shield over his head, leaving Dalinar squarely in control. Dalinar raised his own shield before him and shoved it against the man, forcing him back until he stumbled, giving Dalinar an opening. This man didn't get a chance to cry for his mother. The body dropped before him. Dalinar let his elites handle the others. The way was open to the Bright Lord. Who was he? The High Prince fought to the north. Was this some other important Light Eyes? Or... didn't Dalinar remember hearing something about a son during Gavilar's endless planning meetings? Well, this man certainly looked grand on that white mare, watching the battle from within his helm's visor, cape streaming around him. The foe raised his sword to his helm toward Dalinar in a sign of challenge accepted. Idiot. Dalinar raised his shield arm and pointed, counting on at least one of his strikers to have stayed with him. Indeed, Yennen stepped up, unhooked the short bow from his back, and, as the Bright Lord shouted his surprise, shot the horse in the chest. "Hate shooting horses," Yennen grumbled as the beast reared in pain. "Like throwing 1,000 brooms into the storming ocean, Bright Lord." "I'll buy you 2 when we finish," Dalinar said as the Bright Lord tumbled off his horse. Dalinar dodged around flashing hooves and squeals of pain, seeking out the fallen man. He was pleased to find the enemy rising. They engaged, sweeping at one another, frantic. Life was about momentum. Pick a direction and don't let anything, man or storm, turn you aside. Dalinar battered at the Bright Lord, driving him backward, furious and persistent. He felt like he was winning the contest, controlling it, right up until he slammed his shield at the enemy and, in the moment of stress, felt something snap. One of the straps that held the shield to his arm had broken. The enemy reacted immediately. He shoved the shield, twisting it around Dalinar's arm, snapping the other strap. The shield tumbled free. Dalinar staggered, sweeping with his sword, trying to parry a blow that didn't come. The Bright Lord instead lunged in close and rammed Dalinar with his shield. Dalinar ducked the blow that followed, but the backhand hit him solidly on the side of the head, sending him stumbling. His helm twisted, bent metal biting into his scalp, drawing blood. He saw double, his vision swimming. "He's coming in for the kill," Dalinar roared, swinging his blade up in a lurching, wild parry that connected with the Bright Lord's weapon and swept it completely out of his hands. The man instead punched Dalinar in the face with a gauntlet. His nose crunched. Dalinar fell to his knees, sword slipping from his fingers. His foe was breathing deeply, cursing between breaths, winded by the short, frantic contest. He reached to his belt for a knife. An emotion stirred inside Dalinar. It was a fire that filled the pit within. It washed through him and awakened him, bringing clarity. The sounds of his elites fighting the Bright Lord's honor guard faded, metal on metal becoming clinks, grunts becoming merely a distant humming. Dalinar smiled. Then the smile became a toothy grin. His vision returned as the Bright Lord, knife in hand, looked up and started, stumbling back. He seemed horrified. Dalinar roared, spitting blood and throwing himself at the enemy. The swing that came at him seemed pitiful, and Dalinar ducked it, ramming his shoulder against his foe's lower body. Something thrummed inside Dalinar, a pulse of battle, the rhythm of killing and dying. The thrill. He knocked his opponent off balance, then went searching for his sword. Dim, however, hollered Dalinar's name and tossed him a pole axe, with a hook on one side and a broad, thin axe blade on the other. Dalinar seized it from the air and spun, hooking the Bright Lord around the ankle with the axe head, then yanked. The Bright Lord fell in a clatter of steel. Before Dalinar could capitalize on this, two men of the Honor Guard managed to extricate themselves from Dalinar's men and came to the defense of their Bright Lord. Dalinar swung and buried the axe head into one guard's side. He ripped it free and spun again, smashing the weapon down on the rising Bright Lord's helm and sending him to his knees before coming back and barely catching the remaining guard's sword on the haft of the poleaxe. Dalinar pushed upward, holding the poleaxe in two hands, sweeping the guard's blade into the air over his head. Dalinar stepped forward until he was face to face with the fellow. He could feel the man's breath. He spat blood draining from his nose into the guard's eyes, then kicked him in the stomach. He turned toward the Bright Lord, who was trying to flee. Dalinar growled, full of the thrill. He swung the poleaxe with one hand, hooking the spike into the Bright Lord's side and yanked, dropping him yet again. The Bright Lord rolled over. He was greeted by the sight of Dalinar slamming his poleaxe down with both hands, driving the spike right through the breastplate and into his chest. It made a satisfying crunch, and Dalinar pulled it out, bloodied. As if that blow had been a signal, the Honor Guard finally broke before his elites. Dalinar grinned as he watched them go, glory spren popping up around him as glowing golden spheres. His men unhooked shortbows and shot a good dozen of the fleeing enemy in the back. Damnation, it felt good to best a force larger than your own. Nearby, the fallen Bright Lord groaned softly.
Why?
The man said from within his helm.
Why us?
Don't know, Dalinar said, tossing the poleaxe back to Dim.
You don't know,
the dying man said.
My brother chooses, Dalinar said. I just go where he points me.
He gestured toward the dying man, and Dim rammed a sword into the armored man's armpit, finishing the job. The fellow had fought reasonably well. No need to extend his suffering. Another soldier approached, handing Dalinar his sword. It had a chip the size of a thumb right in the blade. Looked like it had bent as well.
You're supposed to stick it into the squishy parts, Bright Lord, Dim said. Not pound it against the hard parts.
I'll keep that in mind,
Dalinar said, tossing the sword aside as one of his men selected a replacement from among the fallen.
You, all right, Bright Lord? Dim asked.
Never been better,
Dalinar said, voice faintly distorted by the clogged nose. Hurt like damnation itself, and he drew a small flock of pain spren, like little sinewy hands, up from the ground. His men formed up around him, and Dalinar led the way farther down the street. Before too long, he could make out the bulk of the enemy still fighting ahead, harried by his army. He halted his men, considering his options.
Thaka, captain of the elites, turned to him.
Order, sir.
Raid those buildings, Dalinar said, pointing at a line of homes. Let's see how well they fight while they watch us rounding up their families.
The men will want to loot, Thaka said.
What is there to loot in hovels like these? Soggy hog's hide and old rockbud bowls?
He pulled off his helm to wipe the blood from his face.
They can loot afterward. Right now I need hostages. There are civilians somewhere in this storming town. Find them.
Thaka nodded, shouting the orders.
Dalinar reached for some water. He'd need to meet up with Satius, and something slammed into Dalinar's shoulder. He caught only a brief sight of it, a black blur that hit with the force of a roundhouse kick. It threw him down, and pain flared up from his side. He blinked as he found himself lying on the ground. A storming arrow sprouted from his right shoulder with a long, thick shaft. It had gone straight through the chainmail, just to the side of where his cuirass met his arm.
Bright Lord,
Thaka said, kneeling, shielding Dalinar with his body.
Kellek! Bright Lord, are you—
Who in damnation shot that?
Dalinar demanded.
Up there,
one of his men said, pointing at the ridge above the town.
That's got to be over 300 yards,
Dalinar said, shoving Thaka aside and standing.
That can't—
He was watching, so he was able to jump out of the way of the next arrow, which dropped a mere foot from him, cracking against the stone ground. Dalinar stared at it, then started shouting.
Horses! Where are the storming horses? A small group of soldiers came trotting forward, bringing all 11 horses, which they'd guided carefully across the field. Dalinar had to dodge another arrow as he seized the reins of Full Knight, his black gelding, and heaved himself into the saddle. The arrow in his arm was a cutting pain, but he felt something more pressing drawing him forward, helping him focus. He galloped back the way they'd come in, getting out of the archer's sight, trailed by 10 of his best men. There had to be a way up that slope. There, a rocky set of switchbacks, shallow enough that he didn't mind running Full Knight up them. Dalinar worried that by the time he reached the top, his quarry would have escaped. However, when he eventually burst onto the top of the ridge, an arrow slammed into his left breast, going straight through the breastplate near the shoulder, nearly throwing him from the saddle. Damnation! Dalinar hung on somehow, clenching the reins in one hand and leaned low, peering ahead as the archer, still a distant figure, stood upon a rocky knob and launched another arrow. And another. Storms, the fellow was quick. He jerked Full Knight to one side, then the other, feeling the thrumming sense of the thrill surge within him. It drove away the pain, let him focus. Ahead, the archer finally seemed to grow alarmed and leaped from his perch to flee. Dalinar charged Full Knight over that knob a moment later. The archer turned out to be a man in his 20s, wearing rugged clothing with arms and shoulders that looked like they could have lifted a chawl. Dalinar had the option of running him down, but instead galloped Full Knight past and kicked the man in the back, sending him sprawling. As Dalinar pulled up his horse, the motion sent a spike of pain through his arm. He forced it down, eyes watering, and turned toward the archer, who lay in a heap amid spilled black arrows. Dalinar lurched from the saddle, an arrow sprouting from each shoulder as his men caught up. He seized the archer and hauled the fellow to his feet, noting the blue tattoo on his cheek. The archer gasped and stared at Dalinar. He expected he was quite a sight, covered in soot from the fires, his face a mask of blood from the nose and the cut scalp, stuck with not one but two arrows. "You waited until my helm was off," Dalinar demanded. "You are an assassin. You were set here specifically to kill me." The man winced, then nodded. "Amazing," Dalinar said, letting go of the fellow. "Show me that shot again. How far is that, Thaka? I'm right, aren't I? Over 300 yards? "Almost 4," Thaka said, pulling over his horse. "But with a height advantage." "Still," Dalinar said, stepping up to the lip of the ridge. He looked back at the befuddled archer. "Well, grab your bow."
"My bow?"
the archer said.
"Are you deaf, man?" Dalinar snapped. "Go get it."
The archer regarded the 10 elites on horseback, grim-faced and dangerous, before wisely deciding to obey. He picked up an arrow, then his bow, which was made of a sleek black wood Dalinar didn't recognize.
"Went right through my storming armor,"
Dalinar muttered, feeling at the arrow that had hit him on the left. That one didn't seem too bad. It had punctured the steel, but had lost most of its momentum in doing so. The one on his right, though, had cut through the chain and was sending blood down his arm. He shook his head, shading his eyes with his left hand, inspecting the battlefield. To his right, the armies clashed, and his main body of elites had come up to press at the flank. The rear guard had found some civilians and was shoving them into the street.
"Pick a corpse," Dalinar said, pointing toward an empty square where a skirmish had happened. "Stick an arrow in one down there if you can."
The archer licked his lips, still seeming confused. Finally, he took a spyglass off his belt and studied the area.
"The one in blue, near the overturned cart."
Dalinar squinted, then nodded. Nearby, Thaka had climbed off his horse and had slid out his sword, resting it on his shoulder. A not-so-subtle warning. The archer drew his bow and launched a single black-fletched arrow. It flew true, sticking into the chosen corpse. A single Ospren burst around Dalinar like a ring of blue smoke.
"Stormfather!"
"Thaka, before today, I'd have bet you half the princedom that such a shot wasn't possible."
He turned to the archer.
"What's your name, assassin?"
The man raised his chin but didn't reply.
"Well, in any case, welcome to my elites," Dalinar said.
Someone get the fellow a horse.
What?
The archer said.
I tried to kill you.
Yes, from a distance, which shows remarkably good judgment. I can make use of someone with your skills.
We're enemies.
Dalinar nodded toward the town below, where the beleaguered enemy army was, at long last, surrendering.
Not anymore. Looks like we're all allies now.
The archer spat to the side.
Slaves beneath your brother the tyrant.
Dalinar let one of his men help him onto his horse.
If you'd rather be killed, I can respect that. Alternatively, you can join me and name your price.
The life of my bright lord Yezriar,
the archer said.
The heir. Is that the fellow,
Dalinar said, looking to Thaka,
that you killed down below?
Yes, sir.
He's got a hole in his chest, Dalinar said, looking back to the assassin. Tough break.
You monster! Couldn't you have captured him?
Nah. The other princedoms are digging in their heels. Refuse to recognize my brother's crown. Games of catch me with the high light eyes just encourage people to fight back. If they know we're out for blood, they'll think twice.
Dalinar shrugged.
How about this? Join with me and we won't pillage the town. What's left of it, anyway.
The man looked down at the surrendering army.
You win or not, Dalinar said. I promise not to make you shoot anyone you like.
Great,
Dalinar said, turning his horse and trotting off. A short time later, when Dalinar's elites rode up to him, the sullen archer was on a horse with one of the other men. The pain surged in Dalinar's right arm as the thrill faded, but it was manageable. He'd need surgeons to look at the arrow wound. Once they reached the town again, he sent orders to stop the looting. His men would hate that, but this town wasn't worth much anyway. The riches would come once they started into the centers of the princedoms. He let his horse carry him in a leisurely gait through the town, passing soldiers who had settled down to water themselves and rest from the protracted engagement. His nose still smarted, and he had to forcibly prevent himself from snorting up blood. If it was well and truly broken, that wouldn't turn out well for him. Dalinar kept moving, fighting off the dull sense of nothingness that often followed a battle. This was the worst time. He could still remember being alive, but now had to face a return to mundanity. He'd missed the executions. Satius already had the local high prince's head and those of his officers up on spears.
Such a showman Satius was.
Dalinar passed the grim line, shaking his head, and heard a muttered curse from his new archer. He'd have to talk to the man, reinforce that in striking at Dalinar earlier, he'd shot an arrow at an enemy. That was to be respected. If he tried something against Dalinar or Satius now, it would be different. Thaka would already be searching out the fellow's family.
Dalinar?
A voice called. He stilled his horse, turning toward the sound. Torol Satius, resplendent in golden yellow shard plate that had already been washed clean, pushed through a cluster of officers. The red-faced young man looked far older than he had a year ago. When they'd started all this, he'd still been a gangly youth. No longer.
Dalinar, are those arrows? Stormfather, man, you look like a thorn bush. What happened to your face?
A fist, Dalinar said, then nodded toward the heads on spears.
Nice work.
We lost the crown prince, Satius said. He'll mount a resistance.
That would be impressive, Dalinar said, considering what I did to him.
Satius relaxed visibly.
Oh, Dalinar, what would we do without you?
Lose. Someone get me something to drink and a pair of surgeons, in that order. Also, Satius, I promised we wouldn't pillage the city. No looting, no slaves taken.
You what?
Satius demanded.
Who did you promise?
Dalinar thumbed over his shoulder at the archer.
Another one,
Satius said with a groan.
He's got amazing aim, Dalinar said. Loyal, too.
He glanced to the side where Sadeus's soldiers had rounded up some weeping women for Sadeus to pick from.
I was looking forward to tonight, Sadeus noted.
And I was looking forward to breathing through my nose. We'll live. More than can be said for the kids we fought today.
Fine, fine, Sadeus said, sighing. I suppose we could spare one town. A symbol that we are not without mercy.
He looked over Dalinar again.
We need to get you some shards, my friend.
To protect me?
Protect you? Storms, Dalinar, at this point I'm not certain a rock slide could kill you. No, it just makes the rest of us look bad when you accomplish what you do while practically unarmed.
Dalinar shrugged. He didn't wait for the wine or the surgeons, but instead led his horse back to gather his elites and reinforce the orders to guard the city from looting. Once finished, he walked his horse across smoldering ground to his camp. He was done living for the day. It would be weeks, maybe months, before he got another opportunity.